Praise the Lord. The Lord is a faithful God. He's a good God. And I thank God for the gathering together of his children. You see, in some parts of the world today, it's not possible to gather like this. We should not take the grace of God for granted. We should appreciate it and make the best use of every opportunity that we have right now. Praise the Lord. Yes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We appreciate you, Lord, for your kindness, for your love for us, keeping watch over us. Thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Lord, as we go into your word, I ask that you speak to us, speak to me, speak through me and to your children this morning in the name of Jesus. We ask you also give us the grace, O Lord, to live in accordance with your word and will in the name of Jesus. Come against every spirit of distraction. Ask, O Lord, have preeminence, O God. Your name, Lord, be glorified and the blessing be ours in Jesus' name. Amen. Talk about a subject Lord has laid my heart, the stature of a perfect man. The stature of a perfect man. In the first place, let's read from Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. That's the main passage. Ephesians chapter 4. Talking about God's gifting to the church, there are various gifts. We have what we call the ministerial gifts. We have the charismatic gifts or spiritual gifts, which are nine. And then also we have the fruits of the Spirit, which are nine, but they are not gifts. They are all interrelated. And our talk this morning, the Lord will lead us. I will be able to tie them all together. First of all, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he, that's God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, gave some apostles. Talk about the ministerial gifts to the church. Not talking about a local congregation or assembly, but the church of God that Christ died for and shed his blood for. To some he gave apostles, called to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. Why did God give these gifts to the church? Verse 12 answers, for the perfecting of the saints, to perfect the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. The work of the church is enormous, and God gave these giftings to the church universal. And the purpose is to build up the saints of God. You are saints of God, amen. If you are a believer, you have given your life to Christ, you are born again, you are a saint of God. But you are not yet perfect, and you are not yet matured. In the first place, let's talk about perfection. We're not talking about sinlessness per se, but becoming matured in Christ. Amen? Becoming full grown, becoming complete. It's just like when we have newborn babes and we are feeding them right, you see them grow, you watch them grow. And in no time, they grow up to be toddlers, you know, and they'll be crawling on the floor. Later on, they'll take a step of faith, and then they'll be standing. After that, they'll take their first step, want to walk. That's growth, amen? God wants us to grow. So these gifts, they are for the perfecting of the saints, to bring the church to maturity until we become Christ-like. That's what we're going to talk about. The stature of a perfect man. The stature of a matured man in Christ. And when we talk man here, we're talking about both sexes, male and female. Amen. Yes. So we read it from King James Version. New Living Translation says, from verse 12 to 13, say their responsibility, that is, these ministers, these offices, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity of faith and knowledge of God's Son that we be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full, complete standard of Christ. Amen. Verse 14. And then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. That will be the result on the church. People are easily tossed to and fro today because of doctrine. Three kinds of doctrine. False doctrine, especially because we are in the end time. The Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times shall come. There are those who will teach heresies. Who are believing heresies, you know, without really knowing the word of God. Many have been deceived today. We've heard of some congregations, especially in the Africa, East Africa, where some members of the church, they are made to eat grass physically. Grass. Green grass. Nothing. It's not dream. Everybody at the command of the pastor, whoever the man of God, they will all go down like goats and begin to eat grass. Some of you may have seen it, you know, maybe in the social media, but that is real. That's just a typical example. I don't want to go further into all the other kind of heretical teachings, but these things are real. But when you grow in Christ and you become matured, the tendency for you to be deceived or misled by any of these false doctrines will be very slim. That is why we need to grow. Amen? We need to grow unto spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is achieved through becoming more like Jesus. He's our Lord and Savior. And we know that Jesus Christ was, you know, was sinless and was perfect. So if we are going to be like Christ, then we'll have the attributes that he had. It's an ongoing process. Not that, oh, just become born again today and then you are matured. No, it's just like a baby. When a child is giving birth to, it takes time, effort for that child to be nurtured and for the child to grow. One thing I know about little children, they eat a lot. What do they eat? They don't have teeth yet. They drink a lot. What do they drink? Milk. Whose milk? Mother's milk. Amen. Yes. They feed so much on the milk, and that milk is said to be very, very rich and balanced. So the children, they grow very well. And it's been proven scientifically that mother's milk is the best. It's better than all these alternative feeds like cow milk and all that. Amen. Spiritually speaking, what is the milk? The milk of the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, let's read it. We are told what to do if we want to grow unto maturity. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Say, as newborn babes, people who have just known the Lord, we should desire the sincere milk of the word of God, so that we'll grow thereby. It's very important. As newborn babes, if you are 80 years old and you came to know the Lord just yesterday, or maybe even just last month, from last month till now, you are a baby. Even if you are 6 months old, you are still a baby somehow. And you need to feed on the word of God, the milk of the word of God, to grow. You need to grow. If you don't grow, what will happen? Stagnation, disease, affliction can result. But that's not our portion. We need to feed on the word of God, like we are admonished here. He said we should desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that we may grow thereby. Do we have that strong desire to really feed on the word of God? That is the issue. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Yes. I wouldn't say because I am 10 years old in Christ, 20 years old in Christ, therefore I'm matured. You can be 50 years old in Christ and you are still a baby. This one is very, very important for every one of us to know as we talk about spiritual maturity and the stature of a perfect man. So it has nothing to do with your chronological age, whether you are, 70, 80, 90, then that brother, that sister should be very matured. No. If you have just given your life to Christ and you are 70 years old, you should see yourself as a baby. And those nurturing should see you as a baby and teach you the word of God. But you have to humble yourself. You have to be desirous of the word of God, the milk of the word of God, so that you grow. Amen. So the emphasis here is on the word of God, so that we'll grow. Apostle Paul, we know how God used him. From the first day he knew the Lord, he was on fire for God, and he received the Holy Spirit. He didn't have to wait for so long a time. Some people today now, maybe they think that when you receive Christ, then you have to wait for a particular number of months or weeks before you receive the Holy Ghost. It's not supposed to be so. You can receive the Holy Ghost instantly as you receive Christ. Amen. In fact, some people have received the Holy Ghost baptism before they even went for water baptism, like a case of Cornelius' house, to tell you that there's no fist pattern about it. But there is urgency for us to receive the Holy Ghost baptism. If you are here, you are a child of God, you've given your life to Christ, and you are not yet baptized in the Holy Ghost, you are missing a lot, and you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that will quicken your understanding, give you spiritual revelation of the word of God. Otherwise, the word of God will just be like mere words. But when the word of God is quickened by the Spirit of God, you have spiritual understanding. Amen. Yes. Apostle Peter, or Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, had this to say. He said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One would have thought that, that man was already being used of God greatly. Then he was matured. No. Himself pressed on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that way he sought to know God more. He sought to understand God more. That's what we should do if we want to grow. We should have that desire, that strong desire to grow, to know him more, to know Jesus more. The very fact that you have known him and you are born again is not enough. Seek deeper. Like we're told the other time, deep calleth unto deep. Amen. Yeah, it requires a radical reordering of our priorities. Changing from pleasing self to pleasing the Lord who loved us, saved us, and died for us. Amen. Because when we are full of self, we want to please ourselves. But when we are growing and want to become Christ-like, we seek now not to please ourselves, but to please him who called us, to please him who saved us, and to be like him. That will be the motivation in our life. So with this in our mind, we'll grow, we'll continue to grow. We'll be consistent in persevering, in doing the things that pleases God, if we want to grow. It is not enough to hear the word of God. When you hear the word of God, hide it in your heart. Don't only hide it in your heart, meditate upon the word of God. Not only meditate upon the word of God, seek to obey the commands or the will of God in the scriptures that you have heard. Put it to action. So hear the word of God, hear the word of God, understand the word of God, understand the word of God. It's not enough. Until you practicalize the word of God, it's not enough. So if we really want to grow, we'll not only just hear the word of God, we'll study it quite all right, we'll meditate upon it and try to obey, and the Lord will help us. We'll be growing. You'll just find yourself growing as you do these things in Jesus' name. You find there are some herbivorous animals like goats, like sheep. After they have fed on grass, you know, you see them relax somehow. They will relax somewhere, possibly under a shade, and you begin to see them munch something. But at the time they were eating the grass, they didn't digest anything. They just cut the pieces and then swallowed. But there is another place, they call it the rumen, where the grass and whatever it has been eating, we go to. Now they begin to ruminate. They begin to, you know, digest. That's the kind of thing we need to do spiritually. We sit down, meditate upon the word of God that we have heard. It's like now assimilating it. Until food is assimilated, it's useless to the body. We eat whatever it is that we eat, pizza, whatever, you know, it needs to be digested. If it's not digested, it's useless to us. After it's digested, it needs to be assimilated to body tissues to help us in our system. That's when it becomes useful to us. Amen? The same thing with the word of God. Ruminate over the word of God. Meditate upon it. Just like we are told in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God told Joshua that should meditate upon the word of God day and night. When he does that and then seek to obey the word of God, then God will grant him good success. May God grant each and every one of us good success in Jesus' name. In all our endeavors, we need good success. But more specifically, we're talking about spiritual growth now. And as you do these things, I'm telling you, may the Lord grant you success. And you grow and you see yourself being transformed. Amen. That's what God expects. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, I suppose we know that scripture. If any man be in Christ, if it happens that somebody is in Christ, all things pass away, all things become new. But I want to tell you that that process is gradual. Amen. There are some things that will take drastic change immediately. Your love for sin will just like die and all that. But there are some other things that need to happen. And then you become more and more like Christ as you take heed to the word of God. Consistent in reading the word of God, even your prayer life. Because without prayer, the word of God that you read will not mean anything. Because the word of God is spiritually discerned and is to help you grow. But without prayer, you may not grow. That is why before we read the word of God or meditate upon the word of God, we have to pray. That's the God factor. We're talking about the God factor, not leaning on our own understanding, but relying on God. As a child of God, don't just do anything because of your own intelligence. Rely on God. That's the God factor in your life. Every true child of God should rely on the God factor. Without him, I can do nothing. Amen. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Me, crucified with Christ? Yes. Nevertheless, I'm still living. This time, not my own kind of life, but the life of he who died for me and loved me and gave him himself for me. Amen. If we are to internalize that scripture, Galatians 2:20, we find that we need to die to our own will and let the will of God take over in our life. Then can we grow and then can we become children of God. Amen. Yeah. Through personal Bible studies, you can internalize the word of God. You take it down scripture right now. When you get home or at an opportune time, ruminate over the same scriptures again. You have a better understanding that time in Jesus' name. At the new birth, become new creation. We should desire the sincere mix so that we'll grow. We are expected to grow, and God expects us to grow. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, let's read what Apostle Paul says here. Having received the Lord Jesus Christ, it's expected that we obey the word of God and become more and more like Christ with the passing of time. But there are some people who don't grow or are not growing fast. It depends on the attitude. If they are doing these things I've told you, they will surely grow. But if they are not concerned about spiritual growth, they won't desire to grow, and they may not dig deeper into the word of God. What helped me as a young Christian in those days, after I had known the Lord Jesus Christ, I started to read the Bible and started to invest even in buying Bibles. There are Bibles. There are Bibles and there are Bibles. Amen? Yes, some of us are just satisfied now from Genesis to Revelation. Yeah, I've got a Bible. Are you happy? For years, that's what you have. That's not good enough if you really want to grow. I'm telling you, you can buy study Bibles. You can buy self-application Bibles. There are Bibles for teenagers, specially designed to make them grow, to adapt to the ways of teenagers and the challenges of teenagers. There are Bibles for couples. There are Bibles for ladies, just ladies alone. Women. Amen? Of course, there are Bibles for ministers. So we need to just be discerning in buying Bibles. Seek to study, really understand the Word of God, because it's important. The Word of God is God's letter, God's love letter to us. And we are the one that we need to read it and understand. It will profit us. If we don't read it, if we don't study it, if we just depend on what they have to tell us in the church, it's not good enough. Such people will not grow fast. Let me tell you about one particular brother. I'm not going to call his name, Nigeria. And this brother, when he came to know the Lord, became very zealous for the things of God. He wouldn't like to miss Bible studies, prayer meetings, and all that. He would just come. No, he didn't stop at that. Each time there's opportunity for Bible study, you see him as if he's the only one in the congregation asking questions. Some people will say, oh, is he only you? Is he only you? He's zealous. He's anxious. He wants to grow. That's why. I did that. He never rescinded on that kind of attitude. And he grew very fast. In no time, he was the one teaching many people he had met. Today is a teacher. Praise the Lord. Yes, he was the one now teaching so many people he had met in the faith. So it depends on your attitude. It's not a magical wand that you have for you to grow. It's not only prayers as well. Say, God, I really want to grow, want to become Christ-like. You know, all those my temper tantrums. Look, you know, some people have quick temper. And when you challenge them about it, they say, sorry, I inherited from my mother. I inherited from my father. That's you. That's the kind of man. You need to get rid of such stuff and ask God to come in into your heart. Amen. So you become more and more like him. That's why there are some things we need to remove from our life. There are some things we need to add. Put off these things, sinful desires. Then put on Christ. The virtues that make Christ who he is. If you want to become like Christ, what made Jesus different from others? Because of the fruit of the Spirit. We referred to that earlier. In Galatians chapter 5, we are told about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Let's read it. We too need to have this if we must become Christ-like. Amen. Yes, the grace of God is sufficient for us. Jesus Christ had the Holy Ghost, and we too, we have the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit will help us to become Christ-like. The fruit of the Spirit. These nine fruits of the Spirit, they were in Christ and are still in Christ. And those are the things we really need to make a difference in our life. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Without going too detail, but I know that love is not just ordinary love. There are different types of love. We're talking about agape love, unconditional love. The kind of love that will make you to love the unlovable. No wonder the Bible says we should pray for our enemies. Is it possible to pray for enemies? It's possible. That's why God said we should. It's a commandment if you don't know. Love your enemy. Pray for them that despitefully use you. There are so many scriptures. It's when you yield yourself, you have God's kind of love, unconditional love, or spiritual love. That's when you can do that. Otherwise, you reason like, you know, the Old Testament law, say teeth for teeth and eye for an eye. Somebody offends you, offend the person back now. Somebody abuses you, natural, or abuse the person back. Somebody slaps you, slap the person back. Some Christians are still now preaching under the Old Testament rule of teeth for tat. Right now, as I'm talking, I don't know. Possibly there are some people still operating under that law. Jesus Christ has changed that law of love. He said, now, not only just love your friends, but also love your enemies and pray for them. Pray for them that they'll be saved. Don't pray fire on them that they will die and go to hell. That's not God's mind at all. I'm telling you that. You read a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament. David prayed a lot of prayers like that. All my enemies, you know, that fire will come, destroy them, all those kind of things. They are there. But you need to know that Jesus Christ has changed the law of love. You heard that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, but hate your enemy. That's the old law. Jesus Christ changed it. He did not modify it. He changed it. He said, the new law is love your enemies. And do good. You are going a step further now. Not just loving them. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. People are practicalizing this today. There are some people who are being persecuted today and they still love, you know, the people that persecute them. They pray for them. And because of that, God give them divine intervention. Amen. So it's a new love, love. If you go and quote so many scriptures from the Old Testament, teeth for that, it's not relevant today. Amen. Then God expects us to grow. That's why in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, we are told, you have been, I'm reading from New Living Translation. You can read from King James right there. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. You have been believing for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know to do what is right. That's New Living Translation. You can read it in King James Version. Also in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, we admonish, say, let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Let us go on. If we want to become matured, I've told you some of the things. But one other thing that we need to do in 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 to 9. 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 to 9. Again, I'm going to read from New Living Translation. I love it. I love it. I use side by side with King James mostly. This is what it says. From verse 5 to 9. In view of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. Can you just say, add to your faith? Supplement your faith with moral excellence. Can you say, virtue? And then moral excellence with knowledge. Knowledge of God. Not knowledge of science and all that. Knowledge of science is good, but knowledge of God, digging deep, you got to know him more. And knowledge with self-control, temperance. We need to have self-control. Amen. Yes. And then, add to self-control, patience, patient endurance. And patient endurance with godliness. And to godliness, brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love for everyone. Amen. The more you grow like this, the more productive you will be. You become useful, more useful to God. Because if a vessel cleanses, if you cleanse yourself, you'll be like a vessel fit for the master's use. Amen. Growth is made possible by the Holy Spirit. That's why it's not just by power. That's why we have to also pray. God will help us in all these things. By walking in the Spirit or by being led by the Spirit, we see increase in the fruit of the Spirit, which we have talked about. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. These are the characteristics of spiritually matured Christians. So if we want to become Christ-like, then we'll grow to become like Him by adding to our faith, virtue, adding to virtue, knowledge, excellence, self-control. These are things we need to add, spiritual arithmetic. We do this deliberately by the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't just pray, I want to have this nine fruit of the Spirit in me. Do. There is the doing aspect. No wonder the Bible says that faith without works is dead. You need to complement your faith with action. If you want to grow in patience, for example, you endure. You endure. You want to become more patient. Don't ask for a gift of patience because it's non-existent. Say, God, give me a gift of patience. Nothing like that. But you grow by overcoming temptation and trials. You grow and you become more patient as Christ. Jesus Christ learned obedience. So we too should learn these things to become more like Him. These are the characteristics of spiritually matured Christians. The more you have this, the more Christ-like you become. It is not enough to say, I am baptized in the Holy Ghost. But how much of the fruit exhibited is exhibited in your life? It's a reflection of how much you have grown in the Lord. Amen? If you want to know whether you are growing, how much of the fruit of the Spirit is in you, that's what we determine. When we are mature, we speak like Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We see things as Christ will see them. We reason like Christ will reason. There are some cases it becomes difficult to know God's will or what to do at a particular time. But when you consider a father, look, if Christ were the one facing this challenge I'm facing right now, what would he do? Somebody is just abusing me for no reason. Somebody is just insulting me for no reason. What should I do? Natural man will say, react, retaliate, curse, abuse, and rain down fire. That's the natural man. The spiritual man will say, if we're Christ, how would he react? That's the one I want you to make records to. Each time you have a challenge like that, if it were Christ, how would he say? How would he reply to this question? What would he do? How would he, what kind of attitude would he put off? Those are the kind of things we're talking about. When we come more and more like Christ, we begin to have these attributes more in our life. So we reason like him and we talk like him. Amen. Near Frisbee prophesied about the rapture time. How that at rapture time, the bride will come to the unity of faith. And I quote, this is what he said. Say, yea, I shall pour out my spirit until your ears hear like mine and your eyes see like my eyes and your mind become like mine and your heart like mine. That's love. And your hands like my hands of power. Behold, when the hour comes, I will prepare my people suddenly. Watch, say the word of God. Amen. That was a prophecy about the bride at the rapture time. If you are praying for the rapture, if you are aspiring for the rapture, then you aspire as well to become Christ-like. Because this fruit, when this kind of character begins to come up in you, you know you are getting ready. Amen. Yes. When Christians attain to the standard, then indeed the unity of faith of the church will have come to pass, like Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, 21 to 26. We will not read it, but Christ prayed for the church, the followers. There's another noted evangelist, Andrew Womack. He has this to say. He said, we already have the perfect wisdom of Christ on the inside. But we need to transfer that knowledge to our physical minds and thereby change our physical emotions and actions if we want to grow. Apostle Paul was admonishing the children of God in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he said this. He said, "My children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." That's the wish of every minister of God worldwide. They want to see Christ formed in you. Amen? You'll be full of so many things. You need to unlearn certain things and learn more things about Christ. That's why also in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we are told that we should not conform to this world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen? Our mind is renewed by the word of God. That's why the emphasis on the word of God, brothers and sisters, is the word of God that can transform and bring about these changes. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we are also told, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." There's one short song that says, "Say, from glory to glory, he's changed to the likeness of God and his Son. He's changing me. He's changing me. Chained to his likeness eternally. Chained to the glory of God and his Son. He's changing me. May that become a reality in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God that we hear should affect our lifestyle, our attitude, our character. Otherwise, it will be as if we are hearing the word of God one ear that is going out the other ear. Ought not to be so. If that happens in your life, you know that the birds of the air are taking away the word of God. And that's not good. The birds of the air are demonic agents. They take away the word of God that you heard. Ought not to be so. The same word of God that you're hearing now, you need to meditate upon later. And that will make you to grow. Amen. The Lord is preparing his bride. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So God cleanses us through the word, not by any other means at all. That is why we need to love this word of God. There are some people, and by virtue of what I'm doing, you know, we'll take care of sometimes adults, sometimes youths and all that, but mainly adults, grown up men and women, but with retarded mental ability. They are grown up quite all right, look like you, but when it comes to brain function, they are limited. That's what will happen to any child of God who is though old in the law, but is still a babe, can't discern between right and wrong. So we need to grow so that we will not become spiritual kwashokos. We need to get balance in the word of God and reason properly like Jesus Christ wants us to reason. Amen. Yeah, before I round up, talk about some signs of spiritual maturity to know that you are really becoming more like Christ. One, you begin to seek to know God the more. There'll be a yearning. There'll be a strong desire. I want to know God more. I want to know him. Say, this spiritual pull will be there. Then you find it easier to forgive people. If you are finding God to forgive people now, you need to grow. Amen? Yes. How many enemies do you have? There are some people now, they always accumulate number of enemies. Anywhere you go, enemies. They are so enemy conscious. Workplace enemies surround them. The neighborhood enemies. Why not make friends? Anyway, people will hate you whether you like it or not because of your being a child of God. They will hate you without cause. In fact, those are the ones we call enemies. Pray for them. Relate well with them. Love them. So that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate. Anything else out there, you pray so that they will die and go to hell. That's not the mind of Christ. If you are still reasoning like that, then you need to grow up. Amen? Yes. Decrease love for worldliness. Worldliness. People hardly talk about worldliness. Won't be to talk like the world, dress like the world, behave like the world. That's worldliness. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, it talks about lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. These are three things. All sins emanate from these three roots. So the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all those things are worldly. God doesn't want us to have those things. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 4, he said, don't you know that enmity with, when you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, and that friendship with the world is enmity against God? If you love this world so much, the love of God is very thin in your life. What is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So get balanced with the word of God. So the word of God wants us to grow. God wants you to grow. And I pray that as you take heed to this, you love, you grow in Jesus' name. Yes, greater desire for fellowship with brethren. And greater willingness to obey God in all areas of life. All these are things that help us to grow. 1 John chapter 3, 2-3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purified himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. So it's not everything about prayer. Just pray. God, I want to be holy. God, I want to become Christ-like. Good. But there is the doing aspect. Every man, every woman that had this hope in himself purified himself. And we have talked so much about how can a man purify himself? But by taking heed to the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11. May the Lord help us to become Christ-like in Jesus' name. You know, there's need for us to become Christ-like. If we don't, some of us can become stagnant spiritually if we are not growing well. If we are not growing well, we can become spiritually stagnated and will not be able to achieve much for Christ. If Christ is not taken, one can backslide, but that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. This time, I want to pray. If there's anybody, you are hearing me and you have not given your life to Christ, all that I'm saying will just be like grabber. Don't even understand. So if there's anybody you want to give you opportunity, you want to give your life to Christ, you want to be sure of heaven, you want to be sure your sins are forgiven you, I want to give you opportunity to pray. Just bow down your head. Everybody, just bow down your head. You know, pray for those who want to give their life to Christ. Just bow down your head. Tell God you are sorry for your sins. Ask him to come into your life. Tell him that you believe he died for you. You believe he was buried for you. You believe he rose up again for your justification. And that he's coming back again. Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But thank God Jesus Christ offered himself once and for all time. That whosoever will call upon him any day, any time, even now, the Lord will accept such a person. Is there any such person? Raise up your hand. You want to give your life to Christ. You want to be very sure that you are a child of God. Just raise up your hand politely. I want to give my life to Christ. Yes, it's okay. We are all Christians. But when we grow, we begin to like to introduce people to church. Even inviting people to church is something that is good. Because when they come, if they are not Christian, they hear the word of God through you. That is a great contribution to the work of God. Amen. May the Lord use you and me to call the church to grow and to become matured in Jesus' name.